Good to see your smiling faces this morning. Aren't you excited when, God's always doing something, but aren't you excited for those moments when God really just leans in and people respond and our hearts are just moved upon? God is just stirring in our midst today. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. It's easy for us to miss out. You can just, all you got to do is take a casual glance through the Word of God and see people missing out, right? Well, if I lived back in those times, it'd be so easy. No, there's whole countries that miss out, right? You're not just talking about a person or two. There's a whole nations that miss out. So don't miss out. Just keep praying. Let your prayers be just continually. God, keep my eyes open. Keep my ears open to hear you. Keep my heart soft. Keep me going forward with you. Amen? Amen. And I believe that. I believe you guys do that, and I believe that you want to do that. That's why we're in this series, Detours, Dead Ends, Roadblocks, and Beaver Dams. But the Beaver Dams didn't make it on the slide. But this flow of God that God has for our life that tends to get blocked up. If there's not roadblocks, if there's not junk clogging up our riverbed, our highway with God, Jesus just leads and guides and directs, and we're endued with power, and it's glorious. But along come the bumps and the roadblocks and the gunk that just wants to clog up that flow with God. Anyone understand what I'm talking about? Yes, I know we do. And so we've talked about a number of them. Last week, we got to roadblock number 3, offense, and we didn't finish. So guess what today is? Double offense. this is your second offense. So if you thought you were last time, oh, wait till this time. So we just want to pound away a little bit more at that, and we're talking about keeping our heart clean from the sin and the junk. Hebrews talks about the weights and the sin that easily entangles, gets our heart tangled up. And so we want to just run our race with freedom. And I love, guys, thank you. I love the texts and the messages that you guys are sending, and like things like, I'm feeling so free. Yeah. Can you just take a second and just marinate in that? I'm feeling so free. There's such freedom in dealing with this stuff. Nobody likes to deal with this stuff. That's why it's still in our heart. Nobody likes to be told, hey, I think you're a little sensitive to offense. I think you're a dumbhead, right? Nobody wants to hear that stuff. Nobody wants to hear, yeah, you got pride in your heart. Nobody wants to hear that. We don't want to, we want to come to church and we want to get a pat on the back. I do, and I'm the pastor, right? How much more, like you guys, you're like, ah, just tell me something good, because you know what, pastor, if you knew how rough my week was already, you wouldn't be beating me over the head from the pulpit. If you knew how much freedom and life and joy was on the other side of getting junk out of your heart, you wouldn't mind getting beat over the head. That's the thing. We're like, no one's here to be like, yeah, you're dumb. Psh, yeah, you need to get it together. We're painting the picture of glorious freedom on the other side of this junk, and how we can walk so much better with the Lord when this stuff is out of our life. That's what we're talking about, because you're the church, remember? Yeah. You're the church. You're the hope of this world. Yeah. I mean, Jesus in us, obviously. It's always that. It's Jesus. But guess what? Jesus isn't walking around. Well, he is walking around, but he's walking around in you. Yeah. He started out saying, I'm the light of the world, and then he switched. He said, you're the light of the world. Yeah. Look at somebody say, you are. You're the light of the world. So, just a couple of review slides from last time. Offense. The kind of offense that we're talking about is the, can't believe she talked to me like that. Right? That's the kind of, like, someone told me, because we talked about, I said, there's so much of a spirit of offense in America today that we actually named it. We call it Karen. Right? You guys ever seen those memes before? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this offense. It's a spirit. Hey, let me just give you a demon 101. We're not going to go into this much, but we start things in the flesh. Hopefully we're walking in the spirit, but we do things in the flesh. And if you get angry, or if you have a lustful thought in your head, you do not have a spirit of lust, or you do not have a spirit of anger. But you keep doing that, go ahead. I mean, don't go ahead. But, you know, what you'll find out is as you continue to open that same door in your life of greed or of bitterness or whatever, fear, absolutely. The more times you open that door, the easier it gets for your flesh. You keep opening that door, and guess what happens? A spirit wants to come, and not the Holy Spirit. A spirit of fear, a spirit of offense, a spirit of rejection, a spirit of lust, a spirit of anger, a spirit of pride, right? And then we get to where, not to be weird, but a demonic entity is getting to have some authority over our life. We're like, let's get this stuff out before any of that happens, because I don't want none of that in my life, right? Let's get the junk out. And so that's what we're talking about. But in our land right now, there's a spirit of offense. And a lot of us have gotten caught up in it. It's just whoosh. And so we're wanting to identify it, and we're wanting to say, nope, that's bad, let's not participate. And we're not wanting to get sucked in to the spirit of the age. And one of them is a spirit of offense. So some of y'all are just offended. I said, where's Shauna? I said y'all accidentally. Some of y'all have just offended. You're offended. You're torqued out. You're offended. It rained. You're offended. Then the sun shined. You're offended that the lady at the counter didn't give you your dollar bills in the right order. You're offended that that dumb guy in front of you cut you off as you're cutting someone else off, right? You're offended, right? We're just, this is our inventory today to just go, wow. What if he's talking about me? I am. If that. That will be your first clue, right? If your heart is already grumbly, that's you. I'm talking about you. This is custom tailored for you today. Joy. Offense. We're talking about this feeling or expressing hurt, indignation, or irritation because of a perceived wrong or insult. Sometimes there's real things. People are just jerks, right? Or misunderstood, or in a hurry, or demonically influenced, or whatever. People are people. That's kind of what we talked about last time. People are just going to be people. Okay, once you settle that, all right. But it's our choice what we're going to do with that. So here's one thing we covered last time. Offense is a choice. Say, it's my choice. A lot more of you said that than I thought we're going to. Thought you didn't want to get cornered, but it's so true. The glorious thing about it is not, it's my choice, oh, now we're convicted and now we're guilty. No, it's my choice, oh, now I can choose to get out of it. Come on, everything we're talking about is to get out of it. These are some hard messages. And nothing we're preaching is to make you feel bad. I could make you feel bad a whole other bunch of ways. I could just be mean, I don't like your shirt, or whatever. I'm trying to help us all have the illumination of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to go, oh, that might be going on in my heart and life. I want to walk out, because I don't want to stay in that, because it's hindering me. It's holding me back. I want to walk on the super highway with Jesus. Come on, cruising at top speed. Amen? So that's what the offense that we're talking about. That's a review from last time. Matthew 24:10, we said this last time, that many will be offended. I don't think that's a prophetic scripture. That is true today. Many will be offended, and they will betray one another. They'll hate one another. False prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end. Part of enduring is sidestepping all the garbage here. That's what this series is about. That's part of what enduring is. He who endures to the end will be saved. Real quick, we went through these. So when offense happens, when you get offended, how many have been offended in the last month? I'm not raising my hand. Just come on. We're all in the same boat here. There's one boat. We're all in it. We're just looking for the life rafts, right? Come on. We're just looking for the exit, but we're all in the same boat. As soon as that offense happens, it's quick, it's large, it demands a response. Okay, we covered all this last time, but I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page today. Here's the bad thing. It stops critical thinking and problem solving. Like all of a sudden, we're not coming up. As soon as you get offended, can't believe that cow looked at me like that. Talking to the dairy farmers. you shut down the normal healthy processes of your brain working and your soul working and empathy, and it just, you get stuck. It blinds me to the beauty of others. It's all consuming. Offense is never just this tiny little thing like, oh, I'm offended. I wish they wouldn't have said that. It's just, it's consuming. Everyone just said, okay, well, I'll just forget about that. I won't be mad about that anymore. And then accidentally found yourself 20 minutes later, you're just rehearsing it over and over in your mind again. Oh, I just can't believe it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to think about something else. And you're just going along, and all of a sudden you're like, right? You're offended. Oh, I'm so offended. Okay? Here's one. The fruit of the Spirit can't be manifest. You can't produce the fruit of the Spirit when you're marinating on this offense they did to me or my children or my husband or my... You would never be offended for me, would you? What? You wouldn't be... For me? No. That's good. You shouldn't be. By me? Maybe, yes. That's right. Well, you need some clarification, yes. And the last one, you know, obviously there would be a lot more, but I'm not really concerned to share the love of Christ with Linda if I'm torqued off at Linda, right? Or John. If John offends me, how much am I concerned with being patient with John? Like, right? As soon as offense rules, fruit of the Spirit's out the door. Offense is like sardines, and the fruit of the Spirit is apples and oranges and bananas, right? They don't coexist together. Now, if you come to me afterwards, Curtis, and you're like, I have sardines and bananas all the time, I don't even want to hear it. All right. Offended, speaking of fruit, this is John Bevere from The Bait of Satan. The two books that we're, is John Bevere, Bait of Satan, and Brant Hansen, Unoffendable. That's the two books that we've kind of been quoting from in this message or two. Offended people produce much fruit, such as hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, envy. Anyone, does that sound like your week? Right? Some of the consequences of picking up an offense, right, are insults, attacks, wounding, division, separation, broken relationships, betrayal, and backsliding. Well, sign me up for that, huh? Yuck. And it's so easy. And then we talked about a little bit last time. Brant Hansen says, it's all, you know, it's because it's that other guy and that, you know, that guy. That guy is doing this wrong. And that guy, it's because that guy's always that guy and you're always this guy. This guy is pretty much perfect. This guy does everything right. Even though you're doing the exact same thing that that guy is doing, you're this guy, right? He says, he goes on to say, often those who are offended don't even realize that they're trapped. They're oblivious to their condition because they're so focused on the wrong that was done to them, they're in denial. The most effective way for the enemy to blind us is to cause us to focus on me, 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 me. I can't stand you, 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 you. Because you were wrong, 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 wrong. But it's all about me, 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 right? We get sucked into this little tiny circle and we don't walk forward with Jesus. Is it hurting too much? Are you still with me? Are you ready to stone me? Okay, we're going to keep going because, right? This is one more, a couple leftovers from last time. A root cause of offense. We said it in our first lesson that pride isn't just a sin, it's a seed of other sins. And offense comes from pride. Yep, it really does. Brant Hansen says, in my experience, people, well, really all people, thrive on being offended. It makes us feel more righteous to get aggravated at the behavior of other people. I'm hoping by your silence that you're processing that and go, I hope that's not me. I hope that's not me. I hope it's you. It's you. It really is. We love to marinate in our offense because it makes us feel empowered. I was so wronged. And I'm so pure. How could they do that to me? Right, God? Right? You laugh and you all have done it probably this week. So are there any solutions? This is from last time. Recognize it for what it is. It's pride. It's self-centeredness. And then the second thing we talked about is let Jesus and let humility work in us. This is what we ended with last time. Make space for grace. You remember Elliot and Taylor up here scrapping around? And what I said was that back in the past, someone would kind of say something offensive or just not think through something or cut you off in traffic or whatever. And you'd be like, you know, or whatever. And then you might stew on it for a little bit or whatever, but it feels like we as a society have been almost empowered, encouraged, and almost demanded to have immediate retribution. And there's no more space for grace. There's no more this, what do you call it, like a castle, like a moat? You know, there's no more, okay, you crossed the bridge and you said something and they said something bad to you or whatever. And I'm like, well, why did they say that to me? And you went back across the bridge and now there's this moat full of the grace of God in between you where you just, I wonder why these, well, I'll forgive. You know, there's no more process. Now the processing, I had the two boys up here and they were just kind of flailing like that as they're processing through each other, hurting each other. And they're right up in each other's face. And that's what we're like in society right now. We're just immediate. If you feel the slightest twinge of inconvenience, of disrespect, or something that didn't go as you expected, we feel that we've got this obligation to God and country to let everybody know and to let the person know and to let the situation know. And it's just this vomit of immediate reaction. And then we go later. We either have to defend ourselves in our own mind because the little voice that's the Holy Spirit that is now squished down to this big says, maybe that was a little bit of an overreaction. You have to either defend yourself and say, well, yeah, but what they did to me, or you just have to ignore it, right? There's no space to process anymore. Where before, you'd be like, and then you'd kind of process through it and be like, yeah, okay, well, I don't know, maybe they're having a bad day or something or what. Like, there's some space. And there's not anymore. And I don't know why there isn't, but there's not anymore. Ephesians 4:1 says this, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, right? Here's how you're supposed to walk. Come on, guys. Jesus saved you and he's worthy. He gave you a calling on your life. And he said, this is how you're to walk. Worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, come on, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Space for grace. Back up emotionally. Back up mentally. Just, whoa. All right. Well, if you need to say something later, great. But just chill. In youth group, we used to call it push pause. You know, there was a kind of a meme like that for a while. Just push pause. Before you comment back, before you send the email, before you make the comment in person, before you knock the computer off the table, right? Whatever you're going to do, just push pause and just give some space for the Spirit to marinate in your heart a little bit. And don't give that, because in the river of grace, as you're giving space, guess what? It's full of weed killer. The river of grace is full of weed killer. And that weed seed of offense wants to jump in your heart. And as that grace is just washing through, you're like, yeah, I'm not perfect either. Okay, we'll let this one slide, right? And then God continues to work on your heart. Yeah, okay, we'll really let this one slide. This verse says in Colossians 3, it says, make allowance for each other's faults. Be prepared to give a detailed exhortation on why they shouldn't be the way that they are, either publicly or in person, and preferably both. With a severe and sharp tone, repeating often what bothers you the most. Or is that part not in there? It says make allowance, make room for each other's faults. What? Okay. And forgive anyone who what? Offends you. Huh. Looks like Jesus already figured this was coming and spoke to us about it, didn't he? Make room for each other's faults. But God, don't you see? He's like, yeah, I do see. You're right. They are a turd, but so are you. Probably worse. Make room for their faults. Give them room to be human. We're all growing. We're all, and if others, people that you run into out in the world aren't growing, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility lies in this foot and a half by foot and a half square that you stand in. That's where your responsibility lies in. Your responsibility is not to make sure that they're doing everything right. It's right here. It's keeping my heart clean. Brant Hansen says, we should forfeit our right to be offended. Well, it doesn't sound like fun. That means forfeiting our right to hold on to anger. When we do this, we'll be making a sacrifice that's very pleasing to God. It strikes at our very pride. Forces us not only to think about humility, oh, come on, church, let's leave here on a Sunday afternoon, but to actually be humble. Oh, we all have notebooks full of how humility works, right? We've all got notebooks and tapes, and we can all quote our favorite preacher that talked about humility. You should hear this quote. Yep, I know. I'm just guilty. I quote all the time. I love it. But to actually go out and be humble? Well, that's not what you mean, is it? It's what Jesus means. It's what Jesus is calling us to do when you're walking down the school hallway and someone cacks off something dumb to you. We should all rally our friends and get back at them, right? No, we should not. Let's talk about this for a second. Because it's really easy in a message like this, you know, for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about don't be offended. People are going to be the way they are. Don't get worked up at it. Don't get mad. But honestly, injustices happen. So it could be perceived that we're challenging you to never say anything, never deal with anything. It's just all just forgive everything all the time and just not think about anything. And we're just not going to be offended. Meanwhile, right, the guy's banging your dog over the head with a shovel. And you're like, I'm not going to be offended, though. Right? So there's injustices that happen. And I want to see if I can make my way through this there's God's form of justice, and there's Satan's form of justice. Psalm 11:7 says, for the Lord is righteous, and he loves what? Justice. Wait a minute. Okay, now the other 60 of you. The Lord is righteous, and he loves what? Justice. The upright will see his face. The Lord loves justice. Historically, the church has been champions of justice. There is a wealth of documentation through the last millennia, really, of how the church has won victories for women's rights and dismantling slavery and human rights in all kinds of situations, fighting for abandoned babies. That, you know, in our abortion series, we talked about that. You know, God is pro-life. He wants life. He they used to discard babies, you know, in Jesus' time, you know, when the disciples were walking. They used to scoop them up out of the ditches and bring them back home and raise them because they're for justice. When a wrong is committed, the church has always been instrumental we've gotten it terribly wrong at times, but we've got a really good track record of really helping, of really giving value to human life. So godly justice is like this. Here's what godly justice looks like. So there's a victim, right? Someone experiences an injustice, okay? It could be something as simple as whatever. The cashier says, well, I hate you and everyone like you. I don't know, what does that mean? I don't know, like people with plaid shirts. Or it could be something severe as someone's, you know, harming your children or whatever. Like there's injustices that happen. We live in a real world with real injustice. So someone experiences injustice. It could be you or it could be someone else. Your role, all right? Now my role in this is to bring kingdom justice with wisdom. Okay? My role is to stand up for the oppressed and to work for those that are the, you know, bind up the brokenhearted, right? Like there's people that are wounded that need an advocate that need people to come alongside of them. There's, you know, we can be protectors, we can be helpers, and we do it with the wisdom of the Lord, And we do it with insight, and we do it with the power of God in us, and we do it with the character of the Holy Spirit. And then God's role in all of this, he's the just judge. That means like, not he's just the judge. No, it means like just. Just and true and righteous. He's the just judge. And then he empowers and fills me to carry out his will and his ways. Offense, the devil's version of justice, looks like this. There's a victim. Okay, might be me or might be someone I'm picked up an offense for. Well, can't believe they would talk to my sister like that, right? And then my role is judge, jury, and executioner. Look at it. Both of these are going after justice. Both of these are going after justice. That's why Christians get sucked up into offense, because we feel like we're pursuing justice. And then God's role, you smile and tell me, well done. Look at the difference between those. I hope this hurts like stepping on a cactus, man. Like, I hope this is, because this one is death, but it feels oh so good. And this one is life, but you've got to be mature and you've got to walk in the ways of Jesus. So it doesn't mean that we don't ever have interactions with people. It doesn't mean that we don't ever have hard conversations. It doesn't mean, but we do it in a way that's full of the fruit of God. And we do it with, like, well, I'm going to talk to you, and if you don't change, then no. We do it with humility. And that we don't get to control whether they change or not. We don't get to control whether they say sorry or not. Hopefully we, you know, we're protectors and we keep, you know, really evil things from happening from those we love. But bad stuff is going to happen. That one, we all get in that role, and we just, man, it's all the time. Yeah, well, God knows my situation, and he's on my side, and then we're judge, jury, and executioner. I see a wrong, and I'm going to vindicate it, right? I got my six guns, and I'm going to tell you what for, right? Cowboy now, I guess. We have to be wise enough and mature enough to invite the Holy Spirit into the situation. Help my heart not be full of crud, because all you're doing is pursuing justice from a human means at best and from a demonic means at worst. We're going to get back at this person. That's just called revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God's like, you don't have any business stepping into that role. Work for justice. Pursue justice. Absolutely. But do it in a way that's full of the fruit of Jesus. So humility and the just judge. So 1 Peter 2:21 through 23 says this: you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Good or not good?
Good.
Good. Okay. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he really got back at them, and when he suffered, he blotted them out of the earth. Or the less inspiring and more inspired version is, when he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. I have a lot of things I want to say, but Brant Hansen says them better, so he's going to say this. We struggle with trusting God to mete out justice. We're afraid he won't mete out or deliver justice, and that people won't get what they deserve. So perhaps our entitlement to anger is our little way of making sure that some measure of justice is served. Because the Lord, he's busy and all. And God knows he would want this. Would he know? Remember, one boat, we're all in it. It only hurts to make you smile because it's true. And I can tell from experience, it's true in me as well. Brant Hansen goes on to say, so let's joyfully work for justice and mercy. And while we do it, let's trust that God our Father, who actually loves us and also loves mercy and justice more than we ever could, is ultimately going to set things right. We don't need to act like kids who've been abandoned and are forced to take matters in our own hands. Listen to Pastor Brant here. Take matters in our own hands, defending ourselves at every turn. Our Father is coming home, and he tells us over and over that he's going to take care of things. Listen to this last one in this series of three here. Brandt says, choosing to be unoffendable or giving up my right to anger, relinquishing my right to anger, does not mean accepting injustice. It means actively seeking justice and loving mercy while walking humbly with God. And that means remembering, I'm not him. What a relief. You are not God. You are not judge, jury, and executioner. You do not have all the facts. You are not impartial. Two of you. Come on. You do not have all the facts. You are not impartial. Half the time you don't even remember it correctly. Just ask your wife. We need to laugh, otherwise we'll cry, because this is all true stuff. We need to trust that God is the just judge. We want to seek to protect and help and restore and promote justice, promote just the sanctity of human life and existence here. But at the same time, we've got to be tethered to God's character and God's word, right? We've got to do it in his ways. Otherwise, we're assuming that role, and God's like, yeah, I already got that covered. Sorry, we don't need help here. We need help in this department. Yeah, I know I signed up for this, but I'd kind of like to be, I kind of like the God role as well. And he's like, no, I've got that covered. You walk humbly before the Lord. You're like, yeah, I did that last week, but I kind of get this person and they're just, I'm really kind of torqued right now. So I feel like maybe I could kind of like if you're too busy, like I'll play God for just a second. Now you're just mad at me. Marnie, they're just, you went too far, Pastor. You still here? We're just about done. I know. So it's a question. Are we really trusting that God is who he says he is? Do you really want to be free? Or do you just want to be a slave to someone else's flesh? Ugh. Yuck. When you put it like that, Pastor, I don't think I do. I agree with you. Do you want to hand over the keys to your life and well-being to someone else's flesh and lies and whatever they're doing in the moment? You're like, okay, you have utter and complete control over me. That's okay. Because they get to do something, say something, not do something, get your birthday wrong, I don't know, whatever they did, and you're going to be, oh, so offended. You are now giving control over to them of your emotional health. Yay, us. That's not very smart. Instead, let's trust God. That God sees, he knows, he can handle this. He'll give me the strength to be patient. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He'll give me the strength to be forgiving. He'll give me the strength to be humble. And if something needs to be addressed, I'll address it. But not now when I'm angry. Not now when I'm offended. Not now when I'm texting everybody telling how bad this person was. Don't stop. Just stop that too. Just don't do that. Part of your processing should not be texting your 10 closest friends about how bad the cashier was or the guy that cut you off in traffic. Just cut that part out of your life. And just ask Jesus, all right, help me. Like, I'm really worked up right now. Help me to have your peace. Like, I want to see more of the fruit of the Spirit than my riled up emotions right now. So today, what are you practicing? What are you practicing in your daily life? When it's not Sunday morning and you're all smiling for the pastor, what are you practicing on Monday when I'm not around? What are you practicing on Tuesday when you got to go to work? What are you practicing on Thursday when the cows just aren't listening, right? What are we practicing? What you're practicing daily in your life is the setup for either being perpetually offended and trapped or continually walking in grace and forgiveness and freedom. The end. We're done. What are we practicing? Well, if you knew what they did, I don't care. I care about you. I don't care what they did because they're going to do what they did. They already did their did. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? Someone deposited a pile of rotting meat in my soul. Well, they shouldn't have done that. Why are you letting it stay there? If you knew what they, I know what they did. They put rotting meat in your soul, and it stinks. Yeah, but let me tell you what, I already know what they did. They put rotting meat in your soul, and it stinks, and you're starting to stink too. What are you going to do? What should I do? Forgive and get it out of your heart, and don't let it marinate there. Don't be offended. I can do that? You can do that. But they, I know they. We're not talking about they. We're talking about this guy. What is this guy going to do? How am I going to live in freedom? How am I going to walk in purity? How am I going to hear the voice of the Lord? It's by taking that chunk of junk out and say, no more. I don't want that. I'm not biting on that bait. I see where that leads me. It gets me all trapped up. I lied to you. I said we were done. Now we're really for real done. As we walk out today, I hope this is challenging for us, and I hope that maybe you saw some things in here that you're like, I think maybe I'm a little more on the second version of justice. I don't really like that. The first one's way harder. The second one's way easier and way more deadly. First one leads to life. Second one leads to death. Let's not take judge, jury, and executioner into our own hands and decide that we're going to mete out the Lord's justice on the earth. That's his job. It's his job. God, I just pray for this group of people today. Lord, I hope that the people are, as I am, nearly mortally wounded by this and feeling the effects of a sharp sword cutting apart our soul and spirit today. And I pray that the balm of Gilead, the oil of joy, the life of Jesus would penetrate our souls and our spirits. And I pray that as our eyes are opened and we're awakened to the devil's trap in our life, that we're have the ability now to say, no more. We're not doing that anymore. We're not going to fall into that anymore. Give us your grace by the power of God to walk out this Jesus life with life and freedom and hope and the fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.